Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live today from the studios of KKNW here in Seattle on the west coast of the United States. And I'm so happy you're listening today. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better and happier place. I want to thank everyone so much for listening today. Out of This World Radio is one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area, and now we have over 250,000 listeners in over 90 countries, and I want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful support. During the first part of this first hour, I'll be giving you messages from President Dwight D. Eisenhower on the recent fires and also the ascension of the planet. I spoke to him last week, and he wanted me to share this message, so I'll be happy to do that for him. And then, and during the latter part of this first hour, 2 to 3, I'll be having on television directors, four of them from across the country, from the Boston area, Wisconsin, here in Washington State, as well as Hawaii, on the U.S. Federal Communications Commission plans to stop the funding for public TV in the U.S. Yes, that's correct. You heard that. That's correct. It's not on the mass media, but they do want to stop public television here in the United States. And the last time anyone tried that was 1969 with Richard Nixon, and we all know what happened to him later after he tried that. So I don't think their efforts will be successful, but people should know about it. During the second hour, I'll be interviewing Billy Woodard and his father, Zora, from the Hollow Earth. They're fascinating people, and I'm so happy they'll be coming on my show. They always have fascinating things to say. I wanted to tell you that Adama from Telos and the Hollow Earth healed the vision in both of my eyes in September when I was at Mount Shasta a few months ago. And I now see 20/10 crystal clear vision in both eyes. Many miracles happen at Mount Shasta. It's a place where we usually meet the people of Telos and the Hollow Earth. We see lots of Sasquatches, and we also see many, many different UFOs flying in and out of Mount Shasta. It's a beautiful mountain. I'll be going again next year there from July 2nd to July 8th, 2019, and again from September 5th to September 11th, 2019. The cost is only $200. Per person with free camping. We camp right next to an entrance to Telos in the Hollow Earth. And if you'd like to go, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can give me a call here in the United States at 509-750-9793. Also, I'll be having my Galactic Wisdom Conference in Olympia, Washington from April 12th to April 14th, 2019, with the famous vibrational Hado healers from Tokyo, Japan, on April 15th and 16th. Their work's amazing. Dr. Masaru Emoto, before he passed away in October 2014, successfully used these Hado vibrational healing machines to heal, to help 10,000 people with all kinds of different spiritual and physical conditions. If you're interested, the cost for the three-day conference is just $55 if you register before the end of this month. However, after January 1st, the cost will be $125. And if you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. As far as the speakers go, I'll be having Aaron Elizabeth from Health Nut News coming in to us from Florida. As well, I've been talking to Paul Hellyer. I think he's coming. He's the former Canadian Defense Minister of Defense. He'll be here in person at the conference. Simon Parks will also be giving a presentation, as well as many other wonderful UFO and healing people. So if you can, I think you'd really have a good time. The first day on April 12th is always free, so even if you cannot afford the registration, please come on the first day and meet the speakers. I received this Christmas message from President Dwight D. Eisenhower last week. He wanted me to read it to you today, so I'm going to read it to you now. My fellow Americans, I speak to you today with deep regret for my past actions. In March of 1954, I entered into an agreement with a tyrannical and negative extraterrestrial civilization called the Reptilians. They said they would give us advanced technology in order for us, the United States, to fight the then Soviet Union if we would allow them to abduct and study humans. I gave them permission to abduct humans, but it wasn't totally my free will, as I believe I was mind-controlled by the reptilians. I deeply regret to tell you that the particle beam weapons, which killed up to 30,000 people in Paradise, California several weeks ago, were from this technology which we received from these reptilians. The technology that was given to us is being used, unfortunately, against our very own people, the citizens of this great country, and the media in the United States is not reporting it. As your president, I regret this decision. It was the worst mistake of my career. I hope you will forgive me. If I had to do it over again, I would have never agreed to this agreement. There's quite a bit going on with the fires in California. The area now, from what I understand, around Paradise has been completely shut down. It's been taken over by the military. And I've been contacted several times by the spirits, by the many, many spirits who perished in that fire. It wasn't a normal fire. If you look at the pictures of the fire, you'll see cars on the road without any fire around, and yet the cars were all melted. Same thing with homes. Many homes in the area were burned up by what's called directed energy weapons. But yet around the homes, in the gardens and in the trees, nothing's burned. So I was contacted by many spirits of the people who perished. And if we could send some love and light to them and their families, that would be wonderful. They've been ignored by the mass media here in the United States, and they do need our healing. So if we could take a minute and please send lots of love and light to the people who perished in Paradise and Malibu, California, that would be wonderful. Thank you so much for doing that. The Pleiadians arrived here last week. They are helping us right now, and they said the most important thing to do is to not to go into the fear mode with what happened in California, because the negative entities here on the planet want you to be fearful of them. But they don't have power over us, and there are many good things coming. And one of the good things coming, and I want to bring on Leon McLaughlin of the Washington Clean Water Foundation, is clean water for the Hopi Indians who've been drinking carcinogenic, arsenic-filled water for I don't know how many years, and that's changing now because we were able to get in a donation from a wonderful lady named Teresa in Idaho, and so now everyone on the Hopi Reservation in Arizona will now have clean water. Our next goal will be to get a clean water for the Navajo as well. Leon, how are you doing today?
Pretty good, Ted, and thank you for having me on your show.
Well, you're a wonderful guy. Could you please tell everybody your website, how they can help you bring clean water to the world? And then I just talk briefly about what's happening with the Hopi now.
Yes. The website is www.cleanwaterfoundationwa.org. And, yeah, if anyone would like to join us, make donations, that would be great because we are providing water units for the Hopi tribe, and now we're looking at the Navajo tribe, which is on the same reservation. And the problem was, like you said, they had arsenic and uranium in their water along with lead other contaminants.
Wow. Wow, what a potent mess.
So we were able to provide a special water unit that would actually take out the arsenic, uranium, and lead with other contaminants out of the water. Mm-hmm. And from the donation from Teresa, as you had just mentioned,
right.
We're able to now provide the whole Hopi Reservation with water to not only their homes, but to the schools and the clinics.
Wow.
And we opened up a water store. For the people with no running water, they can actually get free water at the water store.
Oh, my goodness. That's such wonderful, wonderful news. Well,
yes,
Leon,
indeed.
I want to thank you so much. We're continuing our efforts, and if you'd like to help in any way, you can write Leon, or you can write me as well. My email, of course, is outoftheisworld1150@gmail.com. One of the things we'll be doing is going to visiting the Hopi in late April. We're visiting the Hopi elders, visiting the clean water areas, visiting sacred sites, and also visiting Sedona and the Grand Canyon. And if you'd like to go, the cost is just $400 per person, and all the proceeds that come in will be going split between the Hopi Indians and the Immortal Peace Project, which is a nonprofit children's charity which distributes beautiful books on love and gratitude for kids around the world. So if you are interested, please send me an email to outoftheisworld1150@gmail.com. One of the important things, and I think you'll agree with this, Leon, is that we are all one. We all have the spark of the Creator within us. And one of the things that Dwight Eisenhower, he wanted me to mention, is that he used to do a lot of sports. And in 1958, here's this quote he wanted me to read today. He said, "Morale, the will to win, the fighting heart, these are hallmarks of successful coaches and players. And also they're the characteristic of successful leaders, the dedicated scientists and teachers, and the established artist. And if we all realize that we are one and we need to work together as a team, then we can accomplish most anything." And that's something, that's a message actually given to me by the Pleiadians as well back in 1977 when I first got in contact with the Pleiadians. They said that if we can all band together and realize we're one and set aside our differences and work together as a team to make this planet a better place. There's nothing that can defeat us because this planet is slated for ascension. And people like you, Leon, are helping that ascension process, bringing clean water to the Hopi. It's so important. And, you know, for many of us here in the United States, there are many of us do have clean water, but a lot of places don't, like Flint, Michigan's terrible. And I'm so happy for your efforts, Leon. Well, thank you, Leon, for coming on today.
Thank you so much, Ted.
Such a good guy. I appreciate you so much for coming on.
And it's a pleasure. And I'm also happy to say that with every unit, we're also giving them the Dr. Emoto books also that's coming with those water units. So they're going to have a wonderful Christmas.
Well, how nice. How nice. You know, the Native Americans, they're especially very spiritual and beautiful people, and I can't wait to see them at the end of May. At the end of April. We'll be meeting up in Sedona, Arizona, April 20th. Be down there April 20th to the 28th. And if you're interested, please send me an email to outoftheisworld1150@gmail.com. And thank you so much again, Leon, for your beautiful work and for coming on today.
Thank you for having me, Ted, and you have a great holiday.
All right. Thank you so much. Eric, were you able to get that MP3? Okay, great. Let's do a quick background before I play. This is an MP3 from a May 1st, 1969 testimony of a gentleman named Mr. Rogers. At that time, Richard Nixon, President Nixon, was trying to completely stop public TV for whatever reason. And the Senate, the U.S. Senate, was considering a $20 million budget for public TV. And Mr. Rogers got on the before this hearing, Senate hearing. And I'd like to play two clips from that. It lasts a couple of minutes, and then we will bring on public television directors across the country to talk about the proposed Federal Communications Commission's plan to stop funding public TV here in the United States. So, Eric, if we could play those two segments, that'd be great. Thanks so much.
Now, Mr. Rogers is certainly one of the best things that's ever happened to public television, and his Peabody Award is testament to that fact. We in public television are proud of Fred Rogers, and I'm proud to present Mr. Rogers to you now.
Fred. All right, Rogers, you got the floor.
Senator Pastore, this is a philosophical statement and would take about 10 minutes to read, so I'll not do that. To help him realize that he is unique, I end the program by saying, you've made this day a special day by just your being you. There's no person in the whole world like you, and I like you just the way you are. And I feel that if we in public television can only make it clear that feelings are mentionable and manageable, we will have done a great service for mental health. I think that it's much more dramatic that two men could be working out their feelings of anger, much more dramatic than showing something of gunfire. I'm constantly concerned about what our children are seeing. And for 15 years, I have tried in this country and Canada to present what I feel is a meaningful expression of care.
Do you narrate it?
I'm the host, yes. And I do all the puppets, and I write all the music, and I write all the scripts.
Well, I'm supposed to be a pretty tough guy, and this is the first time I've had goosebumps for the last 2 days.
Well, I'm grateful not only for your goosebumps, but for your interest in our kind of communication. Could I tell you the words of one of the songs which I feel is very important?
Yes.
This has to do with that good feeling of control, which I feel that the children need to know is there. And it starts out, what do you do with the mad that you feel? And that first line came straight from a child. I work with children, doing puppets in very personal communication with small groups. What do you do with the mad that you feel when you feel so mad you could bite? When the whole wide world seems oh so wrong, and nothing you do seems very right, what do you do? Do you punch a bag? Do you pound some clay or some dough? Do you round up friends for a game of tag or see how fast you go? It's great to be able to stop when you've planned a thing that's wrong and be able to do something else instead and think this song. I can stop when I want to, can stop when I wish, can stop, stop, stop anytime. And what a good feeling to feel like this and know that the feeling is really mine. Know that there's something deep inside that helps us become what we can. For a girl can be someday a lady, and a boy can be someday a man.
I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. Looks like you just earned the $20 million.
Wasn't that a wonderful speech, friends? That wasn't the entire speech. You can look it up on the internet, on YouTube. But I wanted to play you that segment after Richard Nixon tried to stop the funding for public TV. Of course, he was impeached several years later. And that's probably going to be what happens with the current federal communication commissioners. I expect that they'll be out of office here soon for advocating this. But but we can't be complacent. And I wanted to bring on Deborah Vincell. She's a wonderful lady. She's the director of Thurston County Media in Olympia, Washington. And Deb, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well, Ted. I apologize right now to your listeners. I have a little bit of a head cold, so I sound a little stuffy, but I'm glad to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're here. Briefly, what is the FCC proposing, and how will that affect your broadcasting there in Olympia?
So I really appreciate that you played that piece by Fred Rogers. And, of course, that was geared toward PBS, which is broadcast. And what we're talking about today is community media, which is most likely community television, which is most often found on local cable channels. So if you are in a community where you can see your city council meetings or local events and parades and candidate forums and those kinds of things on a local cable channel, that's what we're talking about today. The FCC is proposing changes to rules on how cable operators like Comcast or Spectrum or Charter, how they calculate the amount of money that is owed to local jurisdictions. It's a complex and kind of convoluted thing to talk about. But to simplify it, if you think of the public rights of way as being the place where utility poles are planted, where you see the telephone lines and the power lines and gas lines and that kind of stuff, that land is owned collectively by us as the people. So the FCC is proposing to make changes in how the fees are levied for the use of the public rights of way by cable operators. They have to have access to our public rights of way in order to conduct their business. They need a place to put their wires so they can get from point A to point B and then ultimately connect it to our home. And that's in the public right of way. In 1984, the Cable Act of 84 stipulated a few things. It stipulated that jurisdictions, municipalities, cities, villages, counties, whatever, could charge for the use of the public rights of way up to 5% of gross revenues for the cable delivery service. And we're only talking about the TV portion because cable companies do much more than just the television part now. Mm-hmm. But we're just talking about the TV portion. Mm-hmm. So municipalities could charge up to 5% of gross revenue on the cable subscription fees and other revenue that was generated by the cable operator. And you can consider that rent for the land, basically, mm-hmm. that the cable company needs access to our public rights of way. That is the rent that they pay. In addition to that, the Cable Act allowed jurisdictions to negotiate for other things in the public interest that resulted in the growth of community television. So they could negotiate for things like channels. So if you have a government channel or a public access channel or an educational channel, those were negotiated into your cable access or into your cable franchise document. So equipment and facilities and channels were also things that were negotiable terms. Mm-hmm. So what the FCC is proposing now is that cable operators should be allowed to deduct from the franchise fee, the 5% of gross revenue that is charged for use of public rights of way, that from that fee they should be allowed to deduct anything that the value of anything that they provide as an in-kind service. So they could conceivably put a value on what the channel is and say, the channel is worth X number of dollars, we're going to deduct that from the franchise fee that is paid. They could say things like cable drops to schools or facilities provided for community television can be deducted from the franchise fees that are paid to jurisdictions.
And they determine what the value is. Is that right? Nobody else.
Okay. They determine what the value
sure,
is.
Right. Okay.
So that is what is pending, and this all kind of bubbled up at the end of September. So it's been fairly fast moving.
Yeah.
But there is a process that has to be followed. But the end result is, if these rules are allowed to be promulgated and they're approved, the end result is that millions and millions and millions of dollars that have been paid to municipalities and jurisdictions are now going to be limited and or eliminated through these rules.
Right.
It can be devastating to community television and community media, but it can be devastating to communities who don't have community television, and not everybody has it.
Right.
So when you consider that cable franchise revenue is completely unrestricted, there are no definitions in the Cable Act of 84 as to how franchise fees have to be used.
Right.
They go to a jurisdiction. The jurisdiction can use the revenue for anything. So when you consider that in many small communities, this is a revenue stream that might provide some critical services
sure.
over and above their community television, it can be devastating to communities in a lot of different ways.
I guess the policy question boils down to this. I mean, is it more important for corporations like Comcast and other huge corporations to make even more money? Or is that money better spent at the local level, helping communities with public TV and infrastructure and other things? So I think the answer is pretty clear. I want to bring on briefly, and just stay on the line, Deva, because I want you to come on stage. Joined in. Jay April, he's with, I want to make sure I pronounce this correctly, with Maui Community Television, but there's Akala, is it? Let me make sure.
Akaku, Maui Community.
Oh, hi, Jay, you're good. I had it here. Yeah. I wanted to make sure I had it right.
Yeah.
Jay, this is, sure. I want to introduce you to Deborah. Who's the director?
Hi, Jay.
Deborah Vinson.
Hi.
You probably know each other.
We know each other.
Okay, good, good. And then I've got other people coming on from Wisconsin and the Boston area too in a few minutes. But
good.
Jay, we've been talking about the proposed FCC rules, which would essentially will end public television, public TV here in the United States. How would the new FCC rules affect your operations if they were to go through?
Well, first of all, you have to look at the political landscape.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Trumpian FCC.
Mm-hmm.
The Trumpian philosophy across the board, not just community television, but across the board, is to unleash these monopolies, the industry, to do whatever they want. If you look at almost every industry in America, almost every business, the top two companies in that, the leaders in those fields control about 80% of the business.
Sure.
So we're talking about monopolies controlling almost every facet of American life. So this is not surprising that the FCC would come out with this very underhanded rule, which essentially is right on its face. It basically, what it does is it decimates community television. The last comment was absolutely correct. I mean, the cable companies can arbitrarily decide how much a channel is worth.
Right.
Or how much a drop to a school is worth.
Right.
So effectively, this will eliminate community television. You've got to remember that community television is the last vestige of electronic free speech in America.
Mm-hmm.
It's non-commercial.
Right.
It's uncensored. It's unfiltered.
Right.
It's fully local. People can use this medium, this electronic park, if you will, to express their points of view. And if you can think back as far as 1969, it was a very important decision by the Supreme Court. It was called Red Lion versus the FCC. And Justice Byron White, in that decision, ruled that the airwaves belong to the public. He also ruled that the right of the viewer and the listener to have access to diverse points of view is more important or cannot be abridged by Congress or by the FCC. So that ruling was based on a narrow broadcast, based on broadcast television rubric. It didn't apply to cable or to community television. But the philosophy is the underlying structure of that decision is still applies here. People have a right to talk to each other and in their community. And these are our electronic parks where we do that. This is a very devious move on the part of the FCC. I don't think it'll stand up in court.
Yeah.
If this rule goes through, it'll be challenged in court.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's legal, no. But we're in new territory now, so who knows what's going to happen. But the bottom line is it's really a very corrupt rule, and it shouldn't stand.
Jay, I couldn't agree with you more. And Jay and Deb, I want to ask you, both of you, to comment on the fact that it's happening just before Christmas when people are getting ready for the holidays and people are distracted. And they've given people an extremely short time to talk about this. There's been absolutely nothing on the major media across the United States that I found. Maybe I'm wrong, but I haven't found any articles on it. Nothing at all.
No, there's been no mention of it anywhere, as far as I know.
And as far as I know, you know, the major media wants public TV to go away because maybe they view that as a threat. Maybe they want people to pay for it. And there is a way to comment. Just briefly, I want you both to talk about it. You can either write them a letter, I suppose, if it's postmarked today, it's they have to accept it, or you can go on the internet and go to. You may want to grab a pen and piece of paper. I'll talk slow so you can write this down. https://, then www.FCC.gov/EEZ&EDWARD/FCC.gov/EEZ&Frank/S&Sam. That's ECFS/filings, FILINGS. And you can submit a comment to them by 8:59 p.m. Pacific time today or by 11:59 Eastern time today. And under proceedings, you enter the number 05-311. That's the proposed rule. That's the name of their proposed draconian rule, 05-311. And then you just enter your name, reply comments, and everything. And you can send in a scanned PDF file. For those of you who don't have access to the internet or a computer, you can also write them a letter to the FCC at 455 12th Street Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20544. But go ahead and continue, Jay and Deb.
Well, I would say that one of the things that for me, especially, I live in a capital city and we don't have broadcast affiliates in Greater Thurston County. Our closest broadcast affiliate is in Seattle. So community television, community media serves a huge local connection point here about everything that happens with our local government because the broadcast affiliates are more interested in what happens at the state capitol. But there is, you know, there is the issue of local control, too, and I think that this is something that it concerns me a great deal that so many regulations are being promulgated just across the board in general, and you're right, Jay, it's very Trumpian, that puts the control of our public resources, whether it be the airwaves or the public rights of way or national monuments or national forests, it puts the control of those in the hands of corporate interests as opposed to in the hands of, in this case, the franchising authority. And in half the states, roughly half the states of the United States, the franchising authority is local. It's the local municipality or the local county, and in roughly the other half, it's the state. So this is an interesting scenario where this particular ruling is going to have an impact across the board, whether you're franchised at the state level or franchised at the local level. It's going to have an impact on revenue and resources available to communities and states and community television across the board.
Right, right. Well,
And it also has a public safety aspect. I mean,
yeah,
a lot of communities have something called an INET, which is a cable, a separate cable network that was built as a negotiating point in some of their franchises, where police and fire use this iNet for, you know, and for emergency purposes and for communication. So it actually puts the communities at jeopardy, because the cable company can then turn around, and if this rule were to go through, could turn around and say, well, we're going to charge you for this iNet, which could be an exorbitant amount of money. If, you know, so it, the ramifications go on and on and on.
Yeah, or Jay, you know, they could even conceivably end any kind of emergency services for police and fire, so people in communities, some communities across the United States, and plus especially in rural areas, just wouldn't have any access to call 911, period, because this money now would be going back to Comcast and other large corporations.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you mentioned rural areas, because in all these scenarios, whether it's broadband access or whether it's community television, rural areas are being left, literally left in the dark.
Right.
There's a bill being drafted right now in the Commerce Committee. Hopefully it won't get introduced in Congress because of the changes. But this bill would allow something. The new shiny thing is called 5G. It's called small cell internet, where they want to put these little, well, not little, they want to put these antennas everywhere, on telephone poles, on water tanks, on the side of buildings, literally just about everywhere, every few hundred feet, to bring you internet that's anywhere from 20 times to 1,000 times faster than what we're enjoying now. We're talking about this rollout at about 2024, 2025, when it's mature. And the industry is very excited about this, and you see a lot of this writing about it in the trade press right now. Some of it has actually got into the mainstream press. This is supposed to be the new panacea of internet, right? This is going to be the Internet of Things, where everything gets to talk to everything else. Your eyeglasses tell the optometrist that it's time for a new pair. Your refrigerator orders milk. I'm not sure that, I don't think that this is a great advance. I think it's more dystopian than it is utopian. But the bottom line is, they're pushing this through. This technology is coming down the pipe.
Right.
They're saying it'll change our lives the same way cell phones have changed our lives, or mobile phones.
Right.
Now, the bottom line is, the legislation, all the legislation that I've seen on a state and national level, they're only going to build this out in the urban core, where there's lots of people. They're not going to build it into the rural areas. So people in the rural areas will not be able to have the benefit from this technology.
What is
wrong with our government? I mean, we used, in the 30s, we had something called a rural electrification, the REA, right? The Rural Electrification Administration, the REA Act.
Right.
If it wasn't for that legislation, we would not have electricity or telephone in the rural areas in America. The government has to step up and create a law that says everybody in this country has access to the Internet, affordable access to the Internet, because the Internet is just as important to us now as any utility, as electricity or water or cable TV or any of these things.
Jay, I couldn't.
And right now the trend is just to put it in where it's going to make the most money.
Right, exactly.
And this community television thing is basically what they want is that spectrum. They want that real estate. You have to think of electronic spectrum as real estate.
Right.
They want the real estate so they can exploit it and charge us more money. I mean, my cable bill went from $84 to $124 a month in the past 6 months, and I didn't order any new services.
Oh, my goodness. Jay,
these people have been unleashed.
Yeah,
to do whatever they want,
and
this is just another symptom of that.
I agree totally with you, my friend. Please stay on, Eric. Do I have room for Mary? Okay, I'd love to talk to Mary now. Mary, good, welcome to Out of This World Radio. Thank you so much for holding on.
Thank you.
It's so good to talk to you. We have Deborah Vincel from Olympia, Washington, and Jay April from Maui Community Television out in Hawaii. And I think, Mary, you know Deborah.
We do. We go way back. We do.
Great. And Jay, I'm so glad. It's a small world.
Our world is small.
Well, Mary, you have a wonderful website on the FCC rules. If you don't mind, I'd love to give it out. It's https://wisconsincommunitymedia.com/advocacy. It's a wonderful page, all kinds of information, And, Mary, we'd love your opinion on the new FCC rules.
Well, not surprisingly, I think it's horrible.
Yeah.
I think it's an example of the executive branch trying to legislate.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the role of the FCC to change the law, and that's pretty much what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
By changing the term franchise fee to something that has always been interpreted as a monetary fee, and changing that to mean in-kind services, they're basically completely changing the law and undermining its purpose. It's very sad. And, you know, there are thousands and thousands of people who are writing in to the FCC and saying, this is not the thing to do. You're undermining the purpose of the Cable Act. Community television stations have fulfilled a very important purpose in our communities. And somehow I feel like the FCC is just saying, well, we don't agree, and we're just going to change the law, and we're going to make it do what we want it to do. And I don't think that's the role of the FCC.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Mary. I looked at your webpage, and I'm so glad that all three of you could be on. I just found out about this issue last Sunday. We had a Christmas party at my Thurston County Media here in Olympia, Washington. And they've only given – I mean, they're doing this. They're cutting off comments tonight, for heaven's sake. And they've only given us a very, very short window. And I think it was intentional by them to schedule it so they would cut off comments at Christmas time because people are distracted. They're traveling. They're visiting relatives. They've got holiday functions to go to, and people wouldn't have time to respond. But the last time, as I mentioned before, that anybody tried to cut the funding for public TV was 1969, 1970 with Richard Nixon. And we all know what happened to him. And I think this will be the same thing. People will become so incensed about the FCC that these commissioners, Ajit Pai, for example, the chairman, he should be replaced. Michael O'Reilly should be replaced as well. They both voiced their they're the ones behind this new change in the FCC proposed FCC plans. And I think it frankly stinks that they have the public comment period coming in a short a time during Christmas when people are busy and they really don't want to hear from the public. They just want to ram it through and don't care what the public says. But we need to speak out.
Yeah, I mean, we can speak out, and I hope it matters, and I hope that what will happen is that the courts will get a hold of this if they do try to push this through.
Right.
And there will be an injunction on this, because if there isn't, even if we win in a court battle that takes place, you know, months from now, you know, all of our channels are likely to fold in Wisconsin. We're kind of in an even worse situation than a lot of other states, because with our state franchise law, we don't have a PEG fee.
Mm.
And so every dime that we put into our PEG facilities comes out of the franchise fee.
Wow.
And if we also have to pay for the channel, for transmission of our programming, for the origination points, and all of this, we're not going to be able to afford it. And if it goes through, our channels will close. And, you know, I'm thinking that, you know, municipalities are not going to say, if we win eventually, oh, let's reopen the access channel, dust off that equipment in the corner, rehire staff. I mean, once it goes, it's going to go. So I'm really hoping that our filings show that there is irreparable harm that's going to happen if this goes through, so
sure.
That if it does, when it does go to court, which unfortunately, you know, I'm thinking it will, you know, we can get an injunction to stop this from going through at all.
Right. Well, I'd like to see the people of the United States stop it now. I mean, clearly there's nobody in favor of it, maybe except for Comcast and a few large corporations. And it comes down to a public policy issue, too, is where do you want these monies to go? Do you want to help local communities with like a 911 fire and police services? Because that's what some of the areas happens with these franchise fees. Do you want to maintain a free public access for public TV throughout the United States, especially in rural areas? Or do you want all this money to go to corporations which are already earning trillions and trillions of dollars? It doesn't make sense.
My impression is that Ajit Pai is very interested in broadband, and somehow I think he believes that cable operators will just turn around and take that money and invest it in broadband. But I don't see any indication that that's really going to happen, or that they've made any commitments to it, or that there's any law that requires them to do that.
Yeah.
You know, where's the benefit to the cable subscribers and to the into people generally if this goes through.
Sure.
I mean, what's going to happen is the cable subscribers are going to continue to pay the same amount of money for their cable service, but now they won't get the cable television or the access channels anymore.
Right.
You know?
Right. Exactly. Well, Mary, it's so good to have you on. I want to bring on Jeffrey Hansel. He's with the Belmont Media Center outside Boston, in Massachusetts. Jeffrey, are you there?
I am here, yeah.
Okay, good. Jeffrey, you're joined on the program with Deborah Vincel of Thurston Media in Community Media in Olympia, Washington, Jay in Maui Community Television in Hawaii, Mary Cardona in Wisconsin as well. You probably know each other, but I wanted to bring you on and introduce you to everybody and get your opinion on the new FCC.
Thank you. That's an esteemed company, so I'll have to do my best there.
All right. All right, good. Well, how would the new FCC regulations affect your broadcasting there in Belmont, Massachusetts?
Well, I think we're all, it's a little bit of a guesswork, but here in Massachusetts especially, because there are so many stations so close together, and the tradition has been that we get franchise fees and we turn those around directly into services in the community for little or no cost. Okay, so we are providing technology, training, maintenance, essentially at no cost to the middle school, to the senior center, even to nonprofit organizations to a certain extent. It could devastate the whole. It would close our doors possibly, but more than that, because, and I can speak for some other systems, for some other centers, excuse me, in Massachusetts, but I know for ourselves here in Belmont, it would affect the school system. It's going to affect the senior center. It's going to affect the Small Business Association. And certainly it's going to affect local government, because many people just assume that we are part of the telecommunications infrastructure that they're paying for and that they have a right to and feel that it's necessary. We're not seen, at least in Belmont, as a media company or as a media center, but as just part of Belmont in some ways, because we've taken the approach of just simply turning the fees around and turning them into services or programming or training. And so it's a little bit fraught as to what would happen.
Sure.
So it would affect us in a pretty big way.
Jay, I want to go back to you and want to get any additional comments. We've got about 14 minutes left, friends, so we have plenty of time for all of you to voice your comments. But go ahead, Jay.
Well, I mean, here's the lay of the land, right? We have a corrupt FCC
mm-hmm.
that's in the pocket of the telecommunications industry.
Right.
This is an industry now that, you know, there used to be 500 cable companies. Now there are essentially five.
Okay.
They have a lot of influence in Washington. And their gambit is to basically take away the public benefit or the obligation that they have to pay rent for using the public rights of way. That's what's going on.
Okay.
And the impact on the local level, as the gentleman just stated, is going to be devastating. It's going to hurt so many people across this country. They've already received, as of last week, there were about well over 2,000 comments filed to the FCC.
Wow.
I'm guessing there might be double that now. All overwhelmingly against this action.
Mm-hmm.
So our job right now is to create vigorous opposition on every level. And that's what we're going to have to do. So comments being sent in today are important, because when this thing gets to court, the court's going to look at the record, and they're going to look at what people have to say and think.
Right.
So I know two of our congressmen from Hawaii have filed comments.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to our senator's office. There's a lot of opposition to this. But it's going to sort of going to be a litmus test on whether our government will listen to its people, or right. whether we'll only listen to the corporate voice. And this is kind of a Rubicon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just another issue in a long list of issues.
Sure.
But it's fundamental to electronic democracy on the local level, for sure. Sure.
Well, Jay,
can I just say one quick thing about what I think the real inconvenient truth about all this is, or the headline?
Yeah, go ahead, Jeffrey.
You know, we're living in a world today in which Facebook and Twitter and Google, YouTube, these are behemoths of social media, but they're really huge money-making machines that are privately owned. And though they claim to be opening the world or connecting people, you don't know if you're talking to a real person about a real news story or about a real event. You have no idea. So, they've hacked these huge companies. In 40 years of public access, we've never been hacked by the Russians, right? We are actual, local, non-commercial public platforms. There aren't any more of us around, period.
Right.
Facebook is not, Twitter is not. And then you have a whole lot of television stations owned by Sinclair Broadcasting and maybe owned by, there's a purchase being considered now of another group of local stations. Those are not local stations. So people should realize that the last bastion of actual local media is community radio and community television. And when you watch a community television show, you're watching real people about real news, about real issues that affect you.
That's right.
That isn't available anywhere else.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Mary, I'd love your comments, and then we'll go. We'll ask Deb for her comments as well. Go ahead, Mary.
I really appreciate you having us on today. You can tell we are all very, very committed to community television.
Sure.
And I really like that last comment. These are brick-and-mortar places where people come together to learn the tools of media production, whether it's on the web or on cable or, in other facets, photography, whatever, graphics. And then they use it to speak to their communities about things that are important to them,
right.
or, share projects. And you're actually able to interact with people you know and people who can make a difference in your community. And it's that kind of, it's the kind of media that actually makes a difference, and a media that you can trust because it's mm-hmm. by people you know.
Right.
And it's very sad that, a lot of us have dedicated a lot of years of our life to this, mm-hmm. and it's very sad that Chairman Pai seems to want to turn a completely deaf ear to the value of what these stations provide the public,
right.
Especially in rural areas, for example, because there are no broadcast stations that cover what's important in these rural areas. We have a lot of access stations that serve small towns, small rural towns, and they bring these communities together and they, let the community know what's going on.
Right.
They're really crucial parts of the fabric of media, and it's very sad.
And it's also, I would say, a fabric of the democracy in this country
right.
as well. So
right.
So basically, Anjit Pai and Michael O'Reilly, his cohort, other commissioner, wants to get rid of, chip away at democracy here in the United States, make it dictatorial so that only corporations provide television. You have to pay for it. And there's no effective voice for people to voice their opinion. Thank you so much for that, Mary. I love your website. It's for those of you interested, Mary's got a wonderful website. It's https://wisconsincommunitymedia.com/advocacy. Deb, I'd love your opinion as well. We've got about 8 minutes left.
So you've mentioned a couple times that this has been a fairly short run up to this. Like we said earlier, this kind of all bubbled to the surface at the end of September. And your observation that this all kind of comment period ending shortly before Christmas could be strategic.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to also offer that it's not the end of the process. So not only do we need to comment to the FCC, but we also need to engage our elected officials at all levels, particularly in the Congress. There's going to be a new Congress after the first of the year.
That's true.
And the rules that are promulgated by the FCC have to go through a review process and end up in front of Congress. So, you know, the FCC may do what the FCC does, but that's not necessarily the last step of the process.
Sure.
So I would encourage everybody not only to send their comments to their FCCs, but to the FCC, but please also to engage their representatives and senators. I know that when I did our filing to the FCC, I turned right around and sent emails to my contacts in those offices and said, here's what we just sent. We'd really like support from your office on this issue. So, you know, it's an interesting place to be. I've been in this industry. I've worked in this field for 35 years. And for 35 years, there have been you know, a variety of different kinds of legislative threats, for lack of any other word,
mm-hmm.
that have given us all some pause. But, you know, they came and they went. This
right.
one has. This is probably the most tangible threat that I have felt in the 35 years that I've been in this
sure.
Crazy
sure.
world.
Sure.
So, again, I would just encourage folks, please, don't be complacent. Mary's absolutely right about saying if community media centers close, they're closed. I don't know that very many communities would turn back around and reinstitute. I would hope that they would, but it's a stretch to think that if revenue is reduced and then it comes back, would they go, oh, here's that revenue we used to do this thing before, let's do that thing again. So.
But there's also,
yeah.
you know, when you talk about contacting officials, elected officials, you have to understand that on the local level, the jurisdiction level, particularly in municipalities,
yeah.
there are people in government that would love to have the franchise fee for something other than community television.
Sure.
Right.
Maybe they'd like. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
This is the insidiousness of this rule.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have companies like Charter or Spectrum or Comcast going in franchise negotiations right now going, wouldn't you love to have that 5% for potholes or police or whatever?
Or maybe a trip to Hawaii or a trip to the Bahamas.
If you continue to support community television, we're going to deduct from the fee.
Right.
But we'll just
right.
give you the money for as long as you get rid of that community television.
Business. Right.
So you have to be careful when you approach your elected representatives on the local level. So that they're your allies, because there are people that
right.
would just as well take that money. If
right.
they see money, they'll take it.
Right.
And that's what the cable company is doing. They're going out saying, we'll give you the money. It's not about the money. It's about getting rid of these pesky community television stations.
Right.
And that's a really interesting thing that you just said, Jay, that it's not about the money. I mean, I think if you did the math, I look at Greater Thurston County, and I think conservatively in Greater Thurston County, the cable operator generates in excess of $75 million a year
mm-hmm.
just in the cable subscription fees, not in the internet, not in the telephone, $75 million a year just in cable subscription fees.
Right.
So it's not about the money because I know that what resources are provided through our cable franchise in order to help support community media here are a teeny, 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 tiny percentage of that $75 million. It's not an onerous request, and especially if you amortize it over 10 years, which is the traditional length of a franchise these days. So I think you're right. It's not about the money. It's about other things. So.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Well, my friends, if you'd like to comment, once again, let me get the website address here. You can write the FCC directly. I think if it's postmarked today, they have to accept it. I'll get the there's a website here. Let me see here. Let me get it up real quick. And this is just the first step of many steps it's going to go through. And even though I think there was an insidious plan to have this be considered just before Christmas, when people aren't aware, they're busy with holidays, they're busy with family, and try to slip it in underneath the rug so that nobody would notice until one day you turn on the TV and guess what? You don't have any public TV in your community. And then if you ask the FCC if they're able to do this, then what would happen is that they'd say, oh, well, we gave a comment period. Didn't you know it? We gave you 48 hours or 72 hours just before Christmas when you were busy out Christmas shopping. And it's your fault if you didn't if you didn't submit your comment. The website is www.fcc.gov/ECFS/filings. And now we've got about 30 seconds left, and I want to thank you all so much for coming on today. Deborah Vincel from Thurston Media, Jay April from Akaku Maui Community Television in Maui, Hawaii, Mary Cordova in Wisconsin, and Jeffrey Hansel in Belmont, Massachusetts. And thank you so much, everyone, for coming on today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeff.
Okay. All right, friends. Please stay tuned for our next hour. We'll be bringing on Billy Fay Woodard and Zora from the Hollow Earth. It should be out of this world.